Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. This is the Phileas Club and it's a special mini episode because I had scheduling issues for this episode and I couldn't manage to get everyone together. So I thought of not releasing a show. It's the month of November, by the way, and I'm not even going to give this episode a number. It's just a mini, tiny little filler show. So as I was saying, I was having scheduling issues. But I thought I would at least record a little something. I'm not going to be talking about the news today, and it's going to be just me. It feels a little strange because it's, I think in my 3+ years of doing podcasts, it's the only time that I've ever recorded something alone. I know some other people do it really well. I don't know if I'm going to be as good at it. So if you've been following my Twitter feed, you've probably heard me or at least read me railing about this topic that I want to talk about today. And that topic is net neutrality. So if you've if you're already sick of it, if you've heard my audio boos, this is audio boo is a tool that lets you send audio through Twitter, kind of. So if you've already heard that, this might be a little bit redundant, but I thought the issue was important enough that I would mention it on this show, and it was a perfect fit for the filler episode, I guess. So yes, I'm going to be talking about net neutrality for about 10 minutes, I guess, maybe a little bit less, a little bit more. And I hope that you get something out of it, because it's really an issue that I feel is very, very important. A lot of people have been talking about it. It's being mentioned more and more in the past few weeks, mainly because the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission in the US, has addressed the issue. So you might have heard about it, but you might not know exactly what it is. So let's start from the start. That's always good. Net neutrality is the idea that every piece of content on the internet is equal. So it should be treated equally. And okay, it might sound funny talking about equality among content on the internet, but it's actually very important, because if you let people, when by people I mean internet service providers, decide which piece of content is more or less important, then you might get a service that prioritizes different types of content. So let me give you an example. You could, it's already happening now in very specific instances. So AT&T, for example, in the US, is a very important internet service provider also, and obviously provides phone service. And the internet provides people with other solutions like Skype, for example, or Google Voice or other things. So it's very conceivable that AT&T or other ISPs, I don't want to single out AT&T, would slow down just a little bit the Skype traffic, and to discourage people to use it in order to avoid those services competing with their core service, which is obviously the telephone. And another example would be things like P2P file sharing, which would be slowed down or throttled in order to not compete with the core business of media companies. And It would be okay. There is a debate on whether or not P2P is used solely for piracy, but that's not the issue here. The real issue is innovation and freedom of information, because these are the examples that are being singled out today as things that are happening already. For example, in Canada, there have been several instances where ISPs have admitted to throttling some specific kind of data. And the more terrifying future that could conceivably happen if net neutrality is not preserved would be some ideas of services where you would get a basic price for a basic package that would include the quote-unquote major websites. So you would get your, I don't know, eBay, Amazon, Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, Apple, whatever, for a certain price, let's say $10. And if you try to access a smaller site, like, let's say, French Spin or other people who try to do media or blogs or whatever, that tiny little blog from that guy who talks about Iran, for example, or who says things that people don't read, that rattles a few feathers about the war in Iraq. And it's not to get too political here. That's not really the issue of, you know, censorship is not the issue, but something less mainstream, if you would try to access these kinds of content that are not included in your basic package, you could conceivably not be able to access them. You would need the extra package to access all of the internet. So effectively, that would create a tiered internet where you would get one certain part of the internet for a certain price, and you would need to pay more for to get another part of the internet. Again, you could have more a more pricey plan to get Skype and BitTorrent or YouTube, for example, which is a bandwidth hog. It could be part of the media package. YouTube and Hulu and whatever other kind of a media website. You could also have another package for gaming. They could say, well, this is not part of your basic package. If you want to game, you have to pay an extra $5. And the problem is, the real spirit and core of the internet is at stake here. The internet started and has been evolving so fast with so much innovation because there is total freedom. Anyone can put up any page anywhere and everyone can access it. You can have a small, tiny website like Twitter, for example, or Facebook back in the day, or even other ones, even YouTube. Back a few years ago, it was tiny, and when it started out, it wasn't a major website. It wouldn't be part of any package, and it couldn't develop because people who would hear about it, most of them, if they had the basic package, or some of them, if they had the basic package that didn't include it, they wouldn't have gone to YouTube or Twitter or whatever new kind of website would be created at that specific time. So I'm thinking of those, but I'm also thinking very, in a very egoistic manner, about the new media sites like Twit or Revision 3 or what I'm doing myself, and things like, you know, Scott Johnson's website or CNET, you know, the whole basically podcasting, what I hope is a revolution. And so I guess you start to get the idea. If you didn't really understand what it was, now you get that idea that net neutrality keeps everyone on the internet equal. So that sounds like a pretty core concept of the internet, and it would seem like you wouldn't want to threaten it. But the debate recently got really heated because the FCC proposed a rule, it's not a law, it's a rule a few weeks ago, that says net neutrality has to be enforced and the ISPs cannot prioritize some content over other content. The idea of the ISPs is that they can't handle the bandwidth, which is an absolute lie. The available bandwidth has been growing faster than the bandwidth usage. And, okay, let's not get into it. It is, they can handle the bandwidth. What they cannot do is, I mean, what they're afraid that what they would like to do is monetize the usage of the bandwidth even more. And not enforcing net neutrality would be a way to pick and choose what they can do and to to provide service that is more profitable in the end. So the FCC said, wait a second, you can't do that. We are supposed to be enforcing the communications, the medium. So let's make sure that everyone does have to observe net neutrality. And from then on, it started becoming really political because it became a political issue. And people on the left and on the right have been giving their opinions and ideas. And I did say on Twitter a few days ago that apparently I had a few strong words because I was very angry. I mentioned that it seemed that the Republicans were the most opposed to the idea of net neutrality. And a few people noted that some Democrats also opposed net neutrality, which I'm certain it's true. It just seems like the Republicans are the most. And okay, the issue is, in my mind, I suspect it's true. It might not be, but it seems to me that the issue is that the ones who get lobbied by the ISPs and the media industry are the ones who are coming in favor of not imposing net neutrality. And it seems that the Republicans are more in that camp than the Democrats, but certainly some Democrats are there too. And I would like to add, the reactions I got on Twitter from Republican followers or Republican affiliated followers were mostly, hey, don't put us all in the same bag. I think that reaction is stupid and net neutrality should be enforced. So certainly a lot of people do understand it. One person that is sort of emblematic of that issue is Senator John McCain, who came up with something that annoyed the hell out of me, which is the Internet Freedom Act that states basically you cannot tell the ISPs what they should or shouldn't do, and they should be allowed to do whatever the hell they want. The reason why it annoys me so much is that it is sort of, in itself, it cloaks the words into the idea of freedom, calling itself the Internet Freedom Act, when it has really, really nothing to do with freedom. It's the opposite of freedom. He is using that rhetoric of the government shouldn't be allowed to control the internet, so we need the Internet Freedom Act. This is factually completely inaccurate. What the FCC is proposing is no one can control the internet. We have to make sure that every part of the internet is accessible to everyone. So in effect, you cannot control it. And what the idea that's being put forth is by doing that, the FCC is sort of putting the government's grip on the internet. That is not just, you know, it's like saying, I don't know, I want to have a burger. Oh, well, in that case, it means that you are a Nazi. It has no correlation whatsoever. It's in no way related to what they are saying. Enforcing net neutrality does in no way mean that the government has a stranglehold on the internet. So a few people on Twitter said, I would rather have the ISPs have a stranglehold on the internet, because at least if I don't like what one ISP is doing, I can go to another one. Whereas if the government is controlling the internet, then we have no way of giving the control, you know, removing the control that the government has on the internet. Well, first of all, if there is a serious lack of competition in the ISP business, at least in the US. So if AT&T is the only provider that you have in your area, well, no, you can't go anywhere else. And chances are, even if you have one or two providers, or even three, chances are, this in the same way that they do in the cell phone market, they will agree to some practices, and you will not have a choice because it will be the same choice everywhere. So that is not true to begin with. Second thing is, as I was saying, the idea of net neutrality has nothing to do with the government controlling the internet. It boggles my mind that people would think that, or even that anyone would use that kind of rhetoric, when it's completely infactual and untrue. So saying this is the Internet Freedom Act is twisting the words and using concepts that some people will easily recognize and easily attach themselves to. They're going to think, well, if it's about freedom, of course I'm for it. It's almost like, you know, the Patriot Act, which really didn't have a lot to do with patriotism, and sort of enforced that idea that if you weren't for it, then you were not a patriot. That those were different times, different issues even, and I don't want to get into that. Certainly there is a case to be made for the Patriot Act, and I'm not denying that. In this specific issue of net neutrality, I don't think there is a case to be made for net neutrality. I'm sorry, for going against net neutrality. The only reason that you would be against net neutrality is if you are a media conglomerate or an ISP and you want to raise your profits or have bigger control on what you can and cannot do. And this sort of brings me to my last point in this discussion, which broadens the debate a little bit. And it's this idea that the government should be involved in nothing, and that private companies should be allowed to have free control and free reign over their businesses. I certainly agree that capitalism is the best system we have. You all know I live in a socialist country, and I certainly think that there are good sides to socialism. I'm not, you know, socialism is not communism. The lines get a little blurred in the minds of the Americans sometimes, but they are two different things. Socialism is all about capitalism in a moderated way. I think in the US, capitalism is a little bit more purer form, but it's not like we don't have capitalism in France or in other European countries. So my point is, capitalism is good, and no one is denying that. But my concern is, with this obsession from the Republicans in the US of going full 100% free market, free reign to private companies, I think I'm starting to feel like it sometimes becomes no to government for the sake of it, without even regarding the merits, and just yes to less rules and yes to less control of the private sector. And it is starting to go so far in that direction that I'm afraid it's even departing from capitalism and going to something that is closer to anarchy. Because there is a difference between capitalism and no rules at all. I don't think that in a capitalistic system, you are supposed to have no government. And the US is pretty capitalistic already. So going farther to the right does start to become a little bit more like anarchy, like I was saying. Think about it. If you say the FCC, whose job it is, by the way, to enforce, you know, to regulate the communications, the FCC shouldn't be allowed to regulate what goes on or how business is done in the internet sector. Where is the control coming from? And what is the difference between no control at all and anarchy? So I really, really think that this is, and I don't think that the Republican Party wants to go into anarchy. If you phrase it like that, everyone is going to tell you, well, no, of course, we don't want anarchy. So then you have to ask yourself, how far are we from anarchy if every single time the government says we want to do this, you go, well, you know, I don't want the government to do anything. Certainly, there is a debate with the right. I think I always come back to that, and I did mention it in the healthcare debate that we did last time, 2 weeks ago. And certainly there is a case to be made about the right to bear arms, the abortion issue, things like that. But like in the case of healthcare, in my opinion, but in an even clearer cut case, in the case of net neutrality, there it is not about government control and asking the public to, you know, to accept the idea that there shouldn't be any rules is going to anarchy. You say there shouldn't be any policing of anything in that sector, and the what they call the free market, which in at that point is not really the free market, because you have to, even a market is supposed to have, you know, a certain set of rules. If you go into that metaphor, you're allowed to set shop in that area, and you're allowed to have that kind of way of doing business, and you do it like this and like that. If you just bring people and give them a field and tell them, okay, fight it out, and whoever wins gets to install their little selling point there, I don't think it's really our idea. And when I say our, I mean the civilized world, and I include, you know, the Western world, and I include the US and Europe. It's not our idea of capitalism or society. We have to have a certain amount of rules. You're not allowed to drive against traffic. You have to stop when the red light tells you to stop. You cannot go faster than a certain speed. You can't go faster than an even lower speed if there's a school. That's the government telling you what to do. It's pretty basic stuff. It doesn't impede on the power to do business. It's just rules of fairness. And in that case, again, it's not about controlling what you can or cannot do. It's not the government trying to impose its will on you. It's just, again, think about the issue itself. On the internet, the force and the wonder of the internet is that everyone has access to everything. So if it's a real business concern, then maybe the ISP could say, let's sell different plans with different speeds to you know, for different speeds of access. So you could say you have 1 megabyte for that price, and 30 megabytes for that price, and 100 megabytes for another price. That's fine, because you're not segregating parts of the internet. You're just making it a rational business decision. And why is this okay and the controlling through not enforcing net neutrality thing not okay? It just put away your ideologies, your isms, your side even, whether you're from the right or from the left, and look at the actual issue that's being debated. How is it okay that you, who is Joe Schmo, should not have your blog accessible by everyone on the internet, your friends, the people you don't know, the people on the other side of the world? How is it okay that you would not have your blog accessible to everyone and relinquish that control to not the government, but AT&T or Verizon, or have some guy in his tower, or, well, in his company, decide who should have access to what? That is not okay. It might have been okay if you look at the media in the early 90s. You think, well, you know, not every, it is different. In order to have to broadcast to everyone, you need these sets of tools that are expensive, so not everyone can do it. The world changed with the internet. It's not the same thing anymore. Everyone has access to everything. And this is what gives the internet its strength. This is why it brings all of us, you who are listening to this show and who we are communicating with through Twitter and blogs and comments. This is what makes the internet what it is today. And that's the most chilling thing in all this. If this goes through, if the ISPs are allowed to control what you can access on the internet, then it does change the internet, not tomorrow, but in a few years, in maybe 5-10 years, we are going to have a different internet if net neutrality isn't enforced. An internet where we go back to the one who have the most means are going to be the ones who have the most reach. And that, to me, is not accessible. Acceptable. That's not acceptable. The internet is putting everyone, giving the same reach to everyone. Whether you're poor, rich, black, white, you live in India, you live in Seattle, you are in the deep end of the countryside, it doesn't matter. Once you put something on the internet, everyone can see it. And that is something that is extremely important to me. I think it's an essential part of our society and our culture today. And it's something that we have to cherish and that we have to fight for. And I really call on everyone who's listening to this. It's not a ton of people, but it is the people who are involved in this matter. And if you, who are listening to me, don't feel like you are the one who should be doing something about this, then no one is going to do something about this. It's a real issue that is getting debated now, and we have to spread awareness of it. We have to make people understand that it is important. It's not just something for geeks and for Twitter guys and for tech enthusiasts. It's something for everyone, because the internet itself might become something that is completely different from what we know today. So I guess in essence what I'm saying is, explain it to people if you have to, write your congressman if you need, and don't, for the love of God, do not let your habits, the little label you have on yourself, whether it's, you know, Democrat, Republican, Christian, atheist, whatever it is, it's something that us as a community should be fighting for. And do not let people like John McCain, for example, who I have a lot of respect for, that's not what it is about here. The problem is, people like that do not use the internet. They don't know what it is. He very admittedly said that he doesn't use computers. He shouldn't be making that decision for us. And it's not about he's a politician and they're all the same. It's about you have the power to decide what to do by writing your congressman, by talking about the issue, by convincing people that it is a real problem, and we don't want to have a different internet in the future. Okay, as you can hear, it's something that's very dear to me. I think it's a very important issue. And you might wonder, you know, it's happening in the US. How is it my problem here in France? Well, for two reasons. First of all, I think what's happening in the US might very well come to France in the future. And that's happened before. And I really don't want the US to set a precedent. And the other thing is, I think I, like many other people from very different countries, we're part of the same community, and that community is made possible by the internet, and it is being threatened by things like this. So anyway, I hope I didn't bore you to death. It was, of course, longer than I anticipated. I hope this does make up for the lack of actual show and actual intro and outro music for the Phileas Club. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/notpatrick if you so wish. And you can continue the conversation on the blog and on all the other internet venues. And hopefully we will have a regular show next month. Again, I apologize for not having it this time. So that's it for today. I will probably keep annoying you with that net neutrality thing. So I will let you go back to whatever you were doing before. And I hope you have a lovely day, a lovely week, a lovely month. And I will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone. Peace.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.